beautiful. God designed each one of you, and you are beautiful. Yes, even you. Even he's going, me? Me? Yes. And I'm telling you, he does that in jest, but there's some of you that I know look in that mirror every day and say, why this? And I'm thinking, that's what God designed for you. When you go into an art museum and you look around at the paintings, some of those things you say, what is that about? I don't get it. But the artist got it. Okay, we look at sculptures. That represents what? I don't see it. I don't get this. The artist understood what it meant when the artist, when he or she designed it. And we are the same exact way when God said, I'm going to design that. Jennifer stole some of my message today when she said, God said they had to be special people. And he made them mothers. And I thought, oh man, that's part of my message. And he did. He said, man, we have to have special people to keep families in shape, keep them going, keep them in order. And he made them women. And then some of those women, he said, I'm going to make them mothers. And he took them and made them mothers. Now, obviously, we're not all mothers. Men, figure it out. You're not mothers, okay? So we're not all mothers and we don't all get it. But we have one thing in common. We came from a mother, right? So that's what keeps us in common. God said, I'm going to have a special person. Let me think. I'm designing this person. I'm creating this person. I'm getting a use for this person. Oh, I'm going to give it to her. I'm going to give it to her. Man, God didn't say, I'm giving them to him. No, we couldn't handle it. He said, I'm giving it to women. And I'm going to make them mothers. So I want to read out of Psalm 139. If you have your Bibles, turn there with me. We'll be in three different scriptures today. In Psalm 139, verse 1 through 16, I was going to leave parts of it out, but I thought, no, it's all valuable and relevant to what we're talking about today. Keep it in mind as you turn there, all those people around you, they are beautiful. We've got to remember that. We've got to add value to people's lives. There's enough people taking value away from people's lives. We're called to add value. So Psalm 139, 1 through 16. And it says, O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know my sitting down and my rising up. You understand my thought afar off. You comprehend my path and my lying down. And you are acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word on my tongue, but behold, O Lord, you know it altogether. Before you utter, this isn't part of the scripture, but before you utter those vulgarities, he knows that. He knows what's on your tongue. You have hedged me behind and before and laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high and I cannot attain it. Where can I go from your spirit, or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend into heaven, you are there. Now listen carefully, church. If I make my bed in hell, what does he say? Behold, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall fall on me, even the night shall be light about me. For indeed the darkness shall not hide from you, but the night shines as a day. The darkness and the light are both alike to you. Now this is what is about you. For you, talking about God, for you formed my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you. For I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Your eyes saw my substance being yet unformed. Did you get that? Your eyes saw my substance being yet unformed. And in your book, they all were written. The days fashioned for me, when as yet there were none of them. Let's bow our heads in prayer. May the Lord add His blessing to the reading of His word, and may the words of my mouth and meditation of my heart be acceptable in Thy sight. O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer. Amen. God said, each one of us. I'm going to give this young lady down here this young man, and she'll be his mother. Hands full for sure, but she'll be his mother. And likewise for each one of us. And in that scripture, he said, no matter where and how you were formed, I knew you. I see a young baby out there, you know, formed in his image, by his plan. And he knew that before that baby was formed. Every time we hear a young child cry, every time we see those young children running, that is life to me. That is life. And God said, man, I have given you the gift of life. Now I know not everyone's mother was around. I know not everyone's mother was nice. I know not everyone's mother was kind and loving and nurturing. I know that. But God said, no matter how that story began, that does not have to be the end. And I challenge you today to forgive her. Forgive her today. Why? Why should I? First and foremost, because you call yourself a Christian. Nothing else needs to be said. You say you are a Christian, and God's word says, forgive as I have forgiven you. Oh, then we have to admit that we made mistakes. Colossians, if you'll turn in Colossians chapter 3. In Colossians chapter 3, in the New Testament, towards the end, verse 12 through 17. And those without their Bible apps on their phones, just listen to me. I'll read it to you, okay? But it says, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, or patience, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. We could stop right there. If we call ourselves a Christian, we believe in God's word and every part of it, not just pick and choose and say, I don't like this part, I'll pull this out and throw it aside. Maybe that's why God ripped my Bible, so I could use that to demonstrate. I don't know. But he says, forgive one another. Why is that? If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. God's word doesn't offer this as a suggestion to us. Forgive your mother if you feel like it. It says, this you must do. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which you also were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And then it follows that up and says, and whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. Maybe you didn't have the best mother. Forgive her anyway. Maybe she didn't know what she was doing. Forgive her anyway. Remember Jesus, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Adam, you don't understand. My mother knew exactly what she was doing. Forgive her anyway. Jesus Christ gave His life while we were yet still sinners. Forgive them anyway. And I know that's tough to do. I know that's tough to do. But right in here, God says, man, humble yourself. Put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, patience. He's talking about the character of the new man. And I can never remember this or read this without thinking and remembering at our men's breakfast when Mark said, we talk about putting on the new man as though it is something we can put on and take off when we grow weary of it. But this scripture says, when you put on the character of the new man, you've put off the old. And that new man is with you. And it's not something you get to take off. Unfortunately, I think you just end up soiling it and getting it a little smelly and dirty. And it no longer has that aroma of Christ. But as one of my messages said, the stench of death or the stench of sin. And it's all wrinkled now. And it's misused. And it's not well taken care of. Growing up in my house, as I was a young teenager, we tended to have a lot of our friends gather around there. My mother was a wonderful mother. My father was a wonderful father. My father wasn't around a whole lot. He was traveling a lot. Or he secluded himself in the bedroom for safety, I think. But they loved us and they loved our friends. And our friends came over there, some to relax, several to eat, some to escape. But all of them came to receive one thing, love. Now they weren't bored 15-year-olds and said, I don't feel love. Let's go to the Dilly House and feel some love. No, they weren't aware of that at the time. But as they look back now, they can say that. We took a trip back to Albuquerque last summer. And my mother, who's 85, went with us. And we went into the store where my best friend across the street worked. He owns the store. And my mother walked in at 85 years old, fairly frail. You all know my mom, not frail, but small. And he picked her up and spun her around a few times, twirling around, picked her up off the ground and said, Mom, I can't believe how good it is to see you. Now, this is a young man, and I've talked to him before and said, hey, can I share this story different times? When we'd be at his house again across the street, we'd hear his mother coming. And if we couldn't make the escape quick enough, we had to dive for cover. And she came in with a pretty hard hand on him. And I'll never forget, he hollered out one time. He said, you don't love me. And with every hit she hit him with, she said, I do too love you. And it broke my heart, frozen in a closet behind a bunch of dirty clothes, to hear her say that and hear him say that. And that's why he spent so much time at our house. He didn't know it at the time. Him and his mother have since reconciled and have a good relationship now. But during that time, it was not good. And so I understand that many of you come from backgrounds that aren't good. And I know that. But I want you to think about this. The gift of life. When we went to that conference the other day, I just couldn't believe how much that tied into what I was talking about. And the guy quoted Mark Twain, and he said, I think it was Mark Twain that said, the two greatest days in your life are number one, the day you are born, and number two, the day you find out why. Well, that got me scratching my head a little bit. Number one, because of the similarity of what I was talking about today. And he asked the question, he said, is there anything you need to do to justify the gift you were given of life? And he went on to all the specifics. Do you understand what it takes? The chances to create you and you and you. He said, oh my gosh, the statistics would blow your mind. What has to happen in the body and in chemistry? And then lo and behold, every now and then God says, this is so good, I'm making two of them, and I'm making them a twin. Anyway, okay, I'm a twin, so anyway. That was an afterthought. Anyway, but God says, I'll hear about it later. Okay, I know. Just kidding. But seriously, when twins and triplets and quadruplets and quintuplets and all those things are born, the chances of everything going on, the chances of that young baby being born, and God saying, yeah, I knew it. I planned it. He said, is there anything you need to do to justify the gift of life that you were given? Back to our mothers. Our mothers gave us life. Now, we've got to keep this in mind. Some are adopted, some are step-parents, some are mothers, some are grandparents. Some are different things, and they came in and they're taking care of children in different ways. Heck, I'm a stepdad. How blessed am I? Big deal. I'm a dad. Before I had my son Austin, I was still a dad to two kids. Step just meant a way to get up or down from something to me. That didn't mean anything to me. Step, huh, whatever. Dad. Step, mom. God had planned these things for you. And God had said, I have these things designed for you. Turn in your Bibles, if you would, to John chapter 19. And as you're turning there, think about the beginning. For some of you teenagers over there, you've had graduation already. Nikki's graduated. Aaron graduated yesterday. By the way, Aaron was the young man that spoke about his baptism and his trip down to Falls Creek. And the young man that spoke from Ground Zero. Aaron, wave your hand over there. Just wave it. Okay. Aaron gave a little speech yesterday at his graduation that would blow your mind. Didn't matter how long or short it was, it would blow your mind what that young man has inside him and what the rest of our teenagers have inside them. Jordan, you've already graduated last year, so you're past. But they spoke to you guys and said, hey, as you go on, this is the end. And some said, this isn't the end, it's the beginning. But I want us to think back. Think back and say, where we've had troubles, trials and tribulations, again, as I said earlier, God said, that isn't the end. You get to help change that direction. You get to change your family tree, your family story, your family legacy. You get to take a stand if you choose. And you get to speak life into people now. Starting with yourself. And sometimes we have to be our own cheerleader and we have to speak life into ourselves. How do we do that? How do we speak life into people? I've got to speak life into my parents, my grandparents, my neighbors, my fellow students, my children, my parents, those different things. How do I speak life into them? Well, you love them. You love one another. And Jesus said, love one another as I have loved you. Love your neighbor as what? As yourself. And he added that because he thought, if we just said love your neighbor, you may love them and not yourself. So he said, love them as yourself. So now we have to treat ourselves well so we can treat our neighbor well. You've got to remember, you are ambassadors of Christ. Amen? You're His representative. Stop calling yourself a Christian, yet doing what you want. Don't put a label on yourself. I'm a Christian. Are you sure about that? I've watched you. Okay, I'm not talking about you guys necessarily. I'm talking about in general. Okay? But people are standing around going, I've watched you. Forget the label. Let your actions tell people what you are and what's different about you. Let them see the difference. A tree will be known by its what? Fruit. God's word says, if we're Christians and we act that way, they're going to recognize us. They can tell by the way we act. They can tell by the way we speak to one another. I know this thing inside and out. Great. When will you start applying that? I know mathematics inside and out. Okay, great. I can add 2 and 2, and I know that's 4. But just because I write 10 in my checkbook doesn't mean I got $10 if I put 2 and 2 in there. You have to apply what you know about those things. In here, you have to apply them. We can't get past that. We're His ambassadors, His representatives. We are the aroma of Christ. Like I said, sometimes we walk around and that aroma has changed to a funk. And He says, man, somewhere along the line, you've got to wash something off because you've been rolling in some different stuff there. And that stuff isn't of me, and it isn't part of me. They'll know you by your fruit. When you act the part, they'll figure it out. Just because you tell them you're the part, they figure that out also when you're not. In John chapter 19, verse 25 through 30, you may think, this sounds like an Easter message, Adam. Didn't we read that then? But it says, now there stood by the cross of Jesus His mother and His mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus therefore saw His mother and the disciple whom He loved standing by, He said to His mother, woman, behold your son. And then He said to the disciple, behold your mother. And from that hour, that disciple took her to his own home. Now, I want you to listen to this. When we talk about the gift of life that we've been given, after this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, said, I thirst. Now, a vessel full of sour wine was sitting there, and they filled a sponge with sour wine, put it on hyssop, and put it into his mouth. So when Jesus had received the sour wine, He said, it is finished. And bowing His head, He gave up His spirit. We've all been given this precious gift of life from our mothers. The two greatest days, the day you're born and the day you figure out why. Is there anything you need to do to justify that gift? And I want to just follow up with 4 things. Recognize it for what it is. Recognize it as a gift and all the specifics it took to create you. Forgive others. Man, we are a world this day and age that expects and demands perfection of others, but not ourselves. And we tend to be unforgiving when others make mistakes. Humble yourselves today and forgive one another. Now, with that said, some of your mothers may no longer be with us. But if you didn't make amends, you still need to make amends to yourself. And I would take the opportunity to forgive that person if that needs to be done still. And then love others. As Jesus loved us, love one another. And then the final thing with the guy said in our conference the other day, at the end, what do you need to do to justify the gift? Give it away. The gift of life, give it away. As Jesus did with his life, we just read. And he said, he went to the cross and he gave it up for us. He said, it is finished. Justify your life by giving it away. Giving to others. Giving of your time. Giving of your talent. Giving of your knowledge. Let's not forget that. Giving of your money. Giving of your possessions. Justify it by giving it away. Matthew 5:16 says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we come today thankful for our mothers that have given us life. Lord, you know the circumstances in which we were brought into this world. You know the circumstances in which some of us were raised and are being raised. But Lord, you have provided a way out for us. And you have provided direction for us in dealing with that. Lord, I don't want people putting on name tags that say, I'm a Christian. I want them putting on actions, words, deeds that reflect that. And let other people say, you must be a Christian based on what I see and hear. Lord, today we celebrate the mothers that are here with us today. Lord, the special task that you have given them, from childbirth to rearing to nurturing to maintaining homes at times, organizing family activities. Lord, I ask today that you give them a special blessing, that you lighten their load, that you can come underneath them and lift them up. Lord, be with us as we go out this week, that we would be light and salt to those we come in contact with. Lord, that you would guide our actions towards one another and our words that we speak to those we know and don't know. Lord, that those actions and words reflect the life and the desires of Jesus Christ. Lord, help draw us nearer to you day in and day out. Nearer today than we were yesterday. Nearer tomorrow than we were today. We ask these things in your Son's name. Amen.